All right. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit here. I know you're here, Lord. We ask all the more that you would fill this place and fill every person here now with your Holy Spirit. God, we just want to know what you say. We want to know what you say, Lord. What is your truth, Lord God? And not just that, but what is your truth and how does it apply to my life today? Well, God, have your way here at Indian Lake and in this church this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to talk with you a little for just a few minutes this morning about it's just me. It's just me. And if you would turn in your Bibles to Acts 14 if you want to follow along. Acts 14, starting around verse 8. While you're turning there, I want to recall something Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. There's this part where Paul's writing this letter to the Philippians, and he's sort of making this case about who the Jewish people were. Now, Paul was a Jewish person, and more than that, he was a Pharisee. He was like extra specially Jewish. And and he said, you know, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's like, I did it all right. Even before I could control things, I was circumcised, just like they say to do in the law of Moses. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I know the law inside and out. I know all of God's writings. He's like, I know it inside and out. He's like, but sometimes some of us, we're counting on ourselves to be awesome in front of God. And he says that's called the flesh when we talk about ourselves. He's like, we shouldn't be counting on the flesh. He's like, I've got all this. I have this amazing pedigree. A lot of it's not even mine. It's, you know, my family and how I grew up, and God had his hand on me way before I got here. I've got all this, and I count all that just as rubbish. He's like, I'll just throw it all away. I just want Jesus. I just want to know the Lord Jesus. In the end, it's not about me or all that stuff. It's just about the Lord Jesus, and I am just me. There's this idea where Paul has this amazing pedigree, and we read the Bible, and we read some of the amazing things that God does through people in the Bible, and we're going to read through some of those this morning. And sometimes I feel like there's this impression like, God could only use me if I were like that, or if I were like that person, or if I had a particular background, or if I were smarter, or if I had, you know, if I worked in a different place, or, you know, there's this idea like, I don't know enough. I can't answer people's hard questions. And people have this, immediately they just dismiss themselves. They say, you know what, I'm just going to go and I'm just going to hear about the Lord, or I'm just going to pray privately with myself and I'll join in. But for someone to suggest that, you know, maybe God is calling you to reach out to your neighbor, or you to be the one to take the first step, or you be the one to take action, I think sometimes we discount ourselves too quickly. And God has a long history of calling just regular people and using them in extraordinary ways. Acts 14 is kind of part of the beginning of the church. And I'm going to read some of the amazing things that God was doing through his people in Acts. Now in Acts 14, verse 8, Paul and Barnabas, they're kind of on this like mission trip. And Paul, he was kind of a dropout Pharisee in a sense. And Barnabas was just a guy. He was just a guy that was just willing to go and do what God said. And so they just had been doing what they thought God said for a while. And eventually, the early church was like, hey, this guy, Saul, when they first met him, and Paul, and this other guy, Barnabas, you know, they just do whatever God says. They're just so faithful. I think God is using them, and we believe that God's going to use them more. And I don't know, we just think that God is calling us to send them out and just talk to more people about the Lord. So they send out Paul and Barnabas, and they're taking this trip, and they're going to new cities where people haven't heard Jesus' name yet, and they're setting up churches, and some things start to happen. Some pretty amazing things start to happen. just two guys. And Paul, he's still kind of, honestly, he's still kind of a baby Christian, to be fair. It's not like he grew up in the church, right? He grew up knowing God, the Father, but this whole Jesus thing, I mean, he's kind of new to the scene. Like the other apostles, they've been following Jesus for years. And Paul had a little time of growing up. He's still kind of fresh. And in fact, Barnabas is still kind of his big brother early on. Later on, like they act like Paul's the big brother. But Barnabas is still kind of the big brother. And so they're going out and they're ministering, and things start to happen. And here's one such case where God starts to use just regular people in an amazing way. Now, at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth, and he had never walked in his entire life. He was listening to Paul speaking, and then Paul looked at him intently, and he saw that the man had faith to be healed. Now, I wonder how much Paul had grown over the years to see something like that, to recognize, like, oh, that guy's hearing me, and God's doing something, like, that guy has what it takes. He's holding on to the Lord Jesus with whatever I'm saying. He's holding on with both hands. He's got enough faith to be healed. Whatever it is, Paul has come to recognize this. And so he recognizes this in this guy that's listening to him. And God just gave him some sort of confidence. And this is what he says. Paul looked at him, saw that he had enough faith to be made well. And he said in a loud voice, not like I might say this quiet, just in case it doesn't work. He said in a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." This guy who had never stood up on his feet and walked ever. "Stand up on your feet." And this is what Luke, the author, tells us. It says, he told him to stand up on his feet, and the guy sprang up and began walking. And then something happened. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, this tells you how incredible it was. They lifted up their voices, saying in their own language, "The gods have come down to us, and they look like men." So Barnabas they called Zeus, Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, this guy that worked in town as a priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, he brought oxen and garlands to the gates, and he wanted to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. It's crazy. It's crazy, right? Could you imagine? Could you imagine if you were at McDonald's today for lunch, and you're just like having lunch with your family or with your friends, and the guy next to you, like, you realize he's listening in, and, like, I don't know, the Holy Spirit comes on you or something. You just realize in a second, like, I think God wants me to pray for you. And the guy's healed right in the middle of McDonald's. Could you imagine that? And then the people's family and friends who know that guy, they're like, oh, you must be like a God. And they, like, try to celebrate you, and they try to make a God out of you. It's crazy, right? This is what they did. They thought, oh, this must be Zeus disguising himself. This must be Hermes, like, pretending to be a regular guy. And so they brought some stuff out. They're going to sacrifice to them. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, when they heard of it, they tore their clothes and they rushed out in the crowd and they cried out, "Men, why are you doing these things? See, we are also men. We have the exact same nature as you. All we're doing is bringing you the good news that you should turn from this ridiculous stuff to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." So Paul and Barnabas, they were just out doing the thing. They're just regular guys, and God just started blessing them. Started answering their prayers, started seeing some miracles. And when people tried to say, you know what, it might be because you're a little bit special, they categorically said, it's absolutely not. It's got nothing to do with us. It's all about the Lord. Do not mix up what is going on here. It is all about the Lord. So if you're following along in your Bible, I just want you to hang on right there. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Why don't you hang right there? Okay. I'm going to skip ahead about five chapters. In Acts 19, it says this. It says, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So that here's what they would do. They would bring their hankies. Right? Does anyone's grandma have like a hanky still? Yeah. My dad used to have a hanky. And then he was at this meeting in another country one time. And he saw these people from another country. They kind of blew their nose in their hand a little bit, and they rubbed their hands back and forth until it, like, dried up and crumbled and fell to the ground. And he's like, my dad was like, oh, that is gross. I mean, they're at dinner, right? And so my dad thought, he was like, these people are so uncivilized. Like, they're just not like America. Well, then, like, later on in the meal, dad pulls out his hanky and he blows his nose in his handkerchief and he folds it back up and he goes to put it in his pocket. And one of those guys is like, are you going to keep that? You're gonna keep your snot? It's like, we get rid of ours. I don't know what. Anyway. So they had their hankies, and here's what they would do. They would take their I don't know if they were snot rags or what they were, but they would take their hankies, right, probably rags of some nature, and they would basically, like, Paul would basically bless it. They would touch Paul with whatever they had. They would just take this hanky, and or they would use aprons that had touched his body. They would take it to the sick, and diseases left people. Like, if I were to just, like, wrap up Paul's hanky and, like, send it to you in the mail, and you're like, open it up, and you touch it, and it was like, you'd be healed just from a hanky, okay? And it says, and evil spirits left people just from these hankies and aprons. God was using Paul in amazing ways, Skip ahead 8 more chapters. It says this. And I love this because it's at the end of Acts. And, you know, some people believe, they have a belief that God doesn't work through the church in all the same ways that he used to anymore. In fact, they would say, if you look at the Bible, you see where eventually Paul started losing his ability to heal people. I'm like, I don't see it. Sorry, I just don't see it. Here's at the very end of Acts, one of the greatest miracles ever worked through Paul is at the end. It says this. It says, Paul's on his way now. He's a prisoner, okay? And his ship has crashed, right? He's already planted many churches. He's been doing it for years. He's already written some of the letters that we have in the Bible, not all of them, but he's already written some of them. And they've crashed, and he's just like being a faithful prisoner right now. He just, you know, I'm not going to try to escape, even though we shipwrecked. I'm with you guys. In fact, I'm going to help take care of you guys. I'm going to help take care of your sick. And so they're crashed on this island, and they're like trying to make the best of things. And the islanders are sort of showing up, and they go to build a fire, right? And I don't know if you probably know the story where, like, Paul's like gathering some sticks for the fire, and he like throws it on the fire, and it's like hot, right? Well, there was a snake in the fire, snake in the sticks. And of course the snake's like, well, I don't want to be burned to death. So he leaps out of the sticks and he attaches himself. He bites Paul's hand, and they're all like, oh, these prisoners, right? All the people live on the island, these prisoners, they tried to escape. God tried to kill them on the sea and they sort of escaped, but they can't escape God. This guy's going to die from a snake bite now, right? But Paul just like, gets bit by the snake and just sort of shakes it off right back in the fire. And he didn't die. And they're like, maybe this guy has something special. And again, they sort of misinterpret. But here's the cool part. They sort of invite him over for lunch. They're sort of starting to take care of the prisoners a little bit. And then this happens. It says in Acts 28, and it happened that the father of Publius, that's kind of like the chief on the island, that the father of Publius was lying in bed and he was affected with a recurring fever and dysentery. No fun at all. So Paul went in to see him, and after he had prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. But get this, here's the cool part. The people on the island heard about this, and so they brought all the sick from the island to Paul, and Paul prayed for all of them, and they all got well. This is at the end of the ministry. And to say that, like, God stopped doing some of those things at, you know, near the end of the Bible or at the end of the church, no way. One of the greatest healings ever was at the end of Paul's life, and Paul was doing these amazing, just a guy who was a prisoner, willing to do what God said, a guy who had suffered a lot, just a guy. And, you know, as we read through God's story of what he did in the Bible, you know, he could have gotten anyone. There were hundreds of Pharisees, right? Hundreds of scribes who knew God's word inside and out. He could have gotten all of them, but mostly he got, like, the fisherman, he got, like, the shepherd, he got, like, a tax collector, he got, like, you know, he just got a bunch of different guys. And I think God is saying, he just wants to say, you know what? It doesn't really matter who you are. You don't have to be someone special. Like, yeah, Paul knew the books, but honestly, he started off on the wrong team, right? And Peter, he was kind of like the run your mouth kind of, I'm just a hardworking fisherman, I don't really know much kind of, and he led the church. The other greatest leader of the church was Jesus' earthly brother, James, eventually became the leader of the Jerusalem church, didn't even believe in Jesus until after Jesus rose from the dead, right? And God used this guy that rejected Jesus for most of his life, used that guy to lead the church. The idea is, you know what? All God needs is someone who is willing. He just needs someone who is willing, and he is so willing to use anyone who's going to jump in God's team and do wonderful, amazing things. It's like I've been praying. My prayers are hitting the ceiling. Maybe I'm not special enough. That's got nothing to do with it. God is so willing to use anyone who is willing to follow him. And it's the common, ordinary, normal. If that describes you, you're exactly the kind of person that God uses. You know, sometimes God just wants to use a normal person because he wants to show that he's God and we're not. So don't ever say that we're not good enough, not holy enough, smart enough, not experienced enough, you know, not from the right place or family. There's this other story too that I just love. And it's kind of like Jesus is encouraging these regular guys and he almost rebukes them. He almost rebukes them for a minute because they start to feel like, you know what, maybe I'm pretty special. And Jesus was early in his ministry and he was going from town to town and he started to gather a following. Like in the beginning, everyone's like, I don't know about this Jesus guy. I don't know. It's kind of weird, you know, but he does some pretty cool stuff. And so they were willing to listen for a while and eventually he gets his following. And this one time, Jesus was, he's got this large following, and he's got the more people that are listening to him, and he's started to gain momentum. He's kind of getting excited about things, and people are like starting to follow in greater crowds. And so he's expanding the ministry, and he picks out 72 regular guys, 72 just regular people. We never even know their names. And you know that's not because they didn't want to write about it, because the Bible is full of lists of names, right? The Bible has no problem listing a bunch of names, but these guys, we don't even know their names. In fact, we never hear from them again in the Bible. But God takes these 72 people. Jesus says, I'm going to send you out to all the towns I'm going to go. You're going to go ahead of me. Start proclaiming the message. If people accept you, you know, bless them. Give them God's message. If they reject you, just leave. Say, fine, you reject me, you reject God. I'll just leave. And so they're like, all right. Never done this before, but God, Jesus, I'm just going to say, okay. And they were just willing to do it God's way. And so they just went out there kind of probably afraid. Would you be afraid? It's like, all right, guys, this month's servant evangelism event, we're going to cancel the car wash. I'm going to send you out 2x2 to all the towns around here. I want you to just tell someone God's message. And if they reject you, just go to the next person. Okay. And I want you to keep doing that until we talk to 500 people. Would you be a little bit nervous? Right? Yeah, probably. They're probably nervous. They got kind of nervous. They go out there. They do their thing. But I tell you what, they come back, they're not nervous at all. When they come back, they are different. They come back, and this is what they say. They say, Lord, we went, we did what you said. And even evil spirits were subject to us when we used your name. We're casting out spirits, people, things are happening. It was amazing. And Jesus says this. They're starting to get a little bit excited. Like, maybe God picked me because I'm awesome. Like, maybe I'm one of the 72 because Jesus saw how good I studied his Bible. Or maybe Jesus saw, like, you know, I'm pretty good looking and people might listen to me. Or maybe Jesus chose me because, you know, I followed longer than that other guy and I've got seniority. But Jesus says, you know what? I don't want you to get too elated here. He says, that's great that happened. He says, but don't rejoice that demons were subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The main thing is that you're just a guy who belongs to God. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. And some of you, I know, some of you, your history, some of you have prayed prayers or have acted out in what you thought God called you to do, and God has answered. And it's been amazing. It's been a story you tell your fellow Christians, tell the people that, you know, that believe in the Lord. You sort of celebrate a little bit. and you've had these amazing blessings in your family, and you follow the Lord, and he's taking care of your family, he's taking care of you. You know, sometimes probably if you're just on the school bus, probably even that school bus is somehow taken care of a little bit better just because you're there, just because God loves you, and he takes care of his kids. Simple as that. And so we sort of have, we might get used to this history of being taken care of by the Lord. And maybe some of you have seen God work in some awesome ways. Some awesome ways. But the main thing is that it has pleased God just to use a regular person to glorify himself and to spread his message through the world. See, the main thing is this. Jesus says, I'm going to be with you guys to the end of the age. I'm going to be with you. It was never really about special people or ministers or Paul. It was never really about Peter or John. Or those guys were not special in any way. What was special is that they were with Jesus and they had the Holy Spirit. And every time someone was healed, every time your prayer has been answered, every time that God took care of and set up a special circumstance and you had a divine appointment, you had a conversation, you had no idea how they could have known that, but God just put it all together. Every time that happened was because of Jesus' power. And Jesus was working, not us. That's pretty cool when we were worshiping and Chrissy told that story about when she was scared and had a really bad day and she would say the name of Jesus. I have this note right here to say, you know, it's all through Jesus and his power and his Holy Spirit. And I have this note to say, you know what, sometimes we just need to remember whose power it is. And maybe we should just try that one time, just to say the name of Jesus. Sometimes we need to say it just to hear it and just let whatever that power is, whatever Jesus is, just wash over us for a minute. I'd like to try that for just a second. Whenever we just close your eyes a second, and let's just say out loud, just say, Jesus. Would you say it with me? Jesus. Let's say it again. Jesus. One more time. Jesus. See, that's the power. And anyone can say that. No matter who you are, Jesus is still Jesus. Forever, to everyone, everyone who calls on his name. Now, there's two sides of this coin. And there's a careful balance for us who want to live for the Lord. There's this anyone can serve the Lord side, right? And there's also this other side. There's the rest of the story there from Acts 14. And I'd like to read that now. So Paul and Barnabas, they had done this amazing work. And God's moving through them. The church is growing. It's exciting, right? And they're like, yeah, this is great, you know? And the people are going nuts, but, you know, we'll fix that. People are loving them. Things are growing. Here's what happens next, though. Here's what happens next. They say, guys, we're not gods. We're just regular people. We're just regular people. God called you to leave all that ridiculous stuff. And it says they could barely control the crowd. They were just so excited for what was going on. But here's the very next thing, starting in verse 19. It says, but Jews came from Antioch. So here come the bad guys. Here come the very people that Paul used to be with. Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. And having persuaded the crowds, how quickly people change, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city and even thought that he was dead. It's like the very next verse. It's like, we're doing awesome. God's answering prayers. But it might be that the very next day, something changes and it just didn't go that way. It might be like, man, God, you were answering prayers. People in my family were getting healed. My neighbor come to know you and he's saved now. But it might be like the next 30 or 100 days, you might feel like your prayers are not being answered. Might feel like people change their mind. People are leaving. Might feel like I'm getting stoned to death. This is the same guy. This is the hanky guy. It's the very same guy, right? They dragged him out of the city. They thought he was dead. So here's what he does. But when the disciples came out and they gathered around him, he got back up and went back into the very same city. And on the very next day, him and Barnabas, they just went on to the next thing. They went on to the city of Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples in there, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in their faith. You know, I think I want to be used by God so much, and I want him to answer my prayers and my family and at work here in this church. I want him to answer my prayers for my friends that I know have been lost for a long time. I think one of the things is, with God, God tends to use people who can be used by God in great ways and the very next day just be a regular guy again. You know? And I'm just guessing maybe when we don't see God move very often sometimes, maybe it's because God, in his infinite wisdom, maybe he knows that we're better off that sometimes he doesn't do some of those amazing things. Maybe God knew if he did the hanky thing in my life, that I would have trouble going back to being just me the next day. And I would think it's all about me. And I would expect it all the time. And what kind of a mess that would be, you know? I think God's willing to use someone who can be used by him greatly, and they're just still humble. They're just the same person they were the day before. I'm guessing some of you have these people in your life that were like, oh man, that's a godly woman right there. That is a godly man. I'm guessing if you think the most godly person you know, I bet you think of them that way because God's used them in some crazy ways, but they're also just regular food. They're just regular people. And they're just humble. And as God continues to use them. You know, I don't ever want to forget that Jesus had to die for me too. So we talk about some of the awesome things that Paul did. Here's some of the other things that are in the Bible. The very same Bible, the very same books, the very same timeline. Not later, not earlier, all mixed in. Here's some other things. Paul's friend, who was his friend for at least 7 years, Trophimus, we read about in 2 Timothy. Paul just had to leave him sick. He was so sick, he just had to leave him behind. This is the very same hanky guy. Had to leave his friend behind. How many times do you think Paul prayed for that guy, and that guy was not healed? Epaphroditus was sick to the point of death, Paul tells us in Philippians. He says, your friend that you sent to me, who's serving the Lord right now, who's willing to do whatever, he was sick and almost died. But eventually God healed him, even though we prayed for something awesome. You know, he's like, I threw like 5 hankies at that guy, but man, he's still almost dying, right? Paul encouraged Timothy to mix a little bit of wine because of his frequent ailments. So Timothy was not drinking wine. Maybe he thought that it was not becoming of a man of God or something. But Paul said, you know, you got these frequent stomach problems, and it's been going on as long as I've known you, and I've prayed for you 1,000 times. It's like, Paul's like, sometimes you just got to do what makes sense, buddy. You need to, maybe the water's bad. You just need to drink some wine too. Like Paul, how many times did he pray for Timothy? Timothy, his like right-hand man. This is the very same Paul that healed so many. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave you and me? You know, if you're blessed with a nice house, if you have a car, if you have one person that loves you, you know, you are so blessed. You are still a person that Jesus had to die for because you and I have sin, right? Those things, those blessings, those answers to prayers shouldn't make us any different than what we were before. You know, God can use everyone, but also when he uses me, I'm still just me. And I'm going to treat my friends with a humble attitude. And I'm still going to depend on God for everything. You know, your child might have been healed. Your prayers might have been answered. You know, you might even be the next president of this country. I don't know. But are you serving the Lord today? Sometimes it's like, you know, Scotty, I was going to bless you, Scotty. I was going to answer your prayer. But honestly, you're a little bit better when I don't answer prayers because that's when you hunker down and you cling to me and you get up early and you stick in my word and you pray like never before when I'm not giving you too many answers. And that's just the truth for me sometimes. You know? And so just being willing to still be me after, after God answers a prayer, I think that just opens up the door to be used by God over and over. And he wants to use us if we can still just be me afterward. As we wrap it up here, I'd like to think about a few things. One, sometimes people are far closer to God before God ever blesses them. Sometimes you're still like living in the trailer and eating macaroni and cheese and sick for a year and no friends, and you're praying to God every single day. Sometimes that's when we're closer to God than any other time in our lives. I think about, was there a time when I was super duper close to God? It's always when I haven't yet experienced the answer. When the answer is still on the way, that's when I'm always the closest, you know? And once you're blessed, can you still be you? Can you still be someone that God can use the next day? You can count on just to be humble. Here's the last thing. The thing about God answering prayers and working through you in mighty ways, the truth is, we're going to have a lot more it's just me days than heal the guy with the hanky days. We're going to have a whole lot more it's just me days and I'm still praying and still waiting than we're going to have the cripple standing up and leaping up and down days. Because God knows our weakness and he wants to use us, but he also cares about our souls too and our hearts too. And maybe part of the secret to being used by God is saying, God, whether you answer my prayer, whether you don't answer my prayer, I'm with you. I'm with you no matter what. I'm going to be faithful. I'm willing. I know you can use me. And I'm just going to follow you, whether rain or shine, whether heaven or hell, I'm with you, Lord God. Would you say this with me? God can use me. God can use me. One more time. God can use me. Amen, amen, amen. God has made it abundantly clear in his word that he wants to use regular people. And I have never read where God used Paul very often to heal people. I pretty much read you every place that I could find. There was about one other time in the entire Bible. The greatest apostle that we usually call Paul the greatest apostle. That's about it that we know about. That's written down. Probably other times I weren't written down, but that's about it. Most of the time, he was just a regular guy getting beat up. He would go and he'd give the message and someone would beat him up and he'd go on and tell someone else. That was most of his life, right? Most of the time, he was a prisoner somewhere or people were telling lies about him. That was most of the time. But he was willing to still do that, and that's the kind of person that God used and used in fantastic ways. So, as you go back to work and family and school this week, I hope you're encouraged. No matter who you are, God really will and wants to answer prayers. He wants to use you in great ways. Your friend that is so lost, you know, he really does want to use you to reach that person. He also wants you to stay humble and depend on God for every breath. For every breath. He wants to use you. But he wants you to. He wants your heart. He wants you to be encouraged. Would you stand with me and pray? God, you say in your word, you say your words, Lord, that you're the same yesterday as you are today and as you're always going to be. You're the same God who split open the sea, the same God who healed people with hankies. You're the same God who made a cripple jump up and down. And I know that you answer prayers today. I know you answer prayers every single day. For every person in this room and our families back home and everywhere else, Lord God, here at Indian Lake. Lord God, I pray that you would just give us the boldness to come to you with our prayers that know that you can just use regular people, that you answer prayers of regular people, Lord. Lord God, give courage to every person in here. Remind us that you want to answer our prayers, Lord. And give us the strength of character so that after you answer their prayers, Lord God, the very next day, we will still depend on you and love on you and celebrate you with our whole hearts, Lord. Thank you so much, Father God, for answered prayers and how you work mightily through your people. In Jesus' name, amen.